My name is Alan Gonzalez, and I'm the CEO of the company, right? My story is a little wild because, I mean, I've always been a car guy since I was a kid. It's always what I've loved to do. I just never thought I could make a career out of it. So I did what everyone was supposed to do, and I went to school, and then I went to FIU. I got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and I have a master's degree in forensics in criminal justice from Nova. Now, I was supposed to be a federal agent. I was in the process with FBI, DEA, ATF, and all those guys, but thankfully, they took a long time to hire, so I ended up going a different route. That's when I just decided to take a leap and go into the car industry, and I went. You know, it was hard for me because I was used to like corporate America and I have a master's degree and all this. And it was a hard pill for me to swallow that I was going to work at a car dealer, right? I was like, I'm not going to work at a car dealer. I'm like above that. And, you know, the reason I did it back then, I had my oldest brother used to work at a dealer. He was the top five sales guys at Hyundai in the country. And he was trying to convince me to go over there, and I'm like, man, I'm not gonna work at a dealer, you know, no way, I can't picture myself doing that, even though I love cars. And I remember I went over there shallow reason, I guess, but anyways, he shows me, he's like, hey, look, I had a, this is my paycheck for the month, and I looked at his paycheck, and I'm like, this is what people make here in the car business? I was like, all right, I'm sold, I'll try it. So I jumped in, and I was at a car dealership, maybe a year and a half tops, I don't even know if it went that far. I did really well that one year. And anyways, I did really well there. But the one thing that I noticed while I was there, it was a great experience as well, because it gave me an up close and personal, you know, glimpse of how much people really hate the car buying process and how terrible it is. I mean, you see people walk in the door and they already have this look of misery on their face, and they're already very uncomfortable, and they already feel, you know, a certain way about it. They're already walking in with a very negative mindset because of what they've been conditioned to expect at a car dealership. Terrible experience. I mean, from the get-go, it's all a bunch of pressure. It's all a bunch of lies. Always, there's one of you and there's a lot of people there, and they feel misled because they've been lied to so many times there. A lot of them, you know, they already read all these fake advertisements online before they come in. No, lease this Corolla for $89. There's no such thing as a lease for $89, right? I love the car thing, and I thought this is something I could do forever. But then I didn't like the fact that I couldn't be on the customer side. I don't care who you talk to at a dealer, and everyone tells me, oh, I know my cousin's friend's brother is a finance guy, my neighbor's garbage man's sister. Everybody knows somebody who works at a dealer, and they think that they're connected. I can tell you this. If the person at the dealership is not your immediate family member, they're not doing anything for you, 100%. When you work at a dealer, you cannot be on the customer side. Because if you tell them the truth, they'll fire you. You have to play the game. I couldn't do that. I couldn't swallow that pill. I mean, even before I was in the dealership, friends and family members used to call me, hey, I'm going to go get a car. Could you help me out? They know that I love this. I'm a nerd for cars. I'm reading Motor Trend and stuff for fun. But I said, I love the car thing, but I want to be able to do it on the customer side, not on the dealer side. And that's essentially how Motor Breeze was born. Now, at that time, my boss's boss. He was the GSM, which is the general sales manager of the dealer. You know, him and I built a good relationship, and we used to talk about how broken car buying was, you know, and we would talk about how there must be a better way. And, you know, we kind of started planning, and we took the leap together. You're talking about a guy that talked about how much he believed in Motor Breeze. Just to give you some detail here, but you're talking about guys that were making 25 grand a month, you know, almost maybe more than that on good months. And they were like, no, there's got to be a better way. So he left. That gave me a lot of confidence. I'm like, if this guy's willing to leave, he must something here. And then sure enough, we jumped together and we opened up Motor Breeze 50-50 at that time. So, you know, we jumped into it, and it was awesome, an awesome story, because, they say it's never a good time. I mean, I had just bought a new house. I had just renovated a new house. My second daughter was just born. I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, I want to do this. And she's like, You think now's a good time? I think it's the best possible time because the older I get, the worse the time becomes. So I was about 30, 31. And, you know, said, all right, let's do it. Let's rock and roll. And I went with my partner to, and I remember that we said, okay, we're gonna do this thing. We left, everyone left, you know, six-figure salaries on the table over there. And we sat here in Panera Bread. And we're like, all right, what are we going to do? Well, we're gonna sell some cars. You have any customers? I go, nope. How about you? Nope. All right. Well, I go, actually, I have one guy that wants to buy a Honda. So, all right, let's start with that. And we sold a Honda. But it was funny because, you know, we try to start this company that we're on the customer side. Some people refer to us as brokers. And we, you know, we start off and we don't know anybody and we have no leverage. So we call dealers. We're like, we just come up with this Motor Breeze name. And we're like, all right, we call dealers. We're like, hey, I'm Alan from Motor Breeze. I need you to get me a Honda for my customer below invoice price. And I need to sign a contract, you guys. So we get paid, you know, on every single deal, but you still got to go, you know, 2000 below invoice for all my customers. And they're like, who's this guy by? And it was a cool experience to go through that. Now we probably get at least one dealer a week that cold calls us, that tries to onboard us. It's kind of flipped around. So, I mean, most people will call us brokers. You got to be careful with that term typically because in the state of Florida, the auto broker is an unregulated business. Anybody sell one car a month and call themselves a broker. Now, nothing wrong with that, but somebody that sells maybe one or two cars a month, they don't have any leverage. They don't have any connections. They don't have any knowledge. There's no way that they could really help you. There's only a few large companies, I would say large companies, you know, for this industry at least, that do what we do. And we're the ones that actually have the leverage to get stuff done. I mean, we're at the point where we do so much volume that, again, the dealers cold call us. The way that it makes financial sense for you guys to further understand that is the big dealers that do a lot of volume, the way that they make most of their money is by kickbacks from the factory. So, you know, Honda Corporate calls Bremen Honda and says, Bremen Honda, if you guys do 100 brand new units for the month, we'll give your store a bonus of 150 grand for the month, right? So now they're chasing this nut. That's where we come in. At Motor Breeze, I can pretty much guarantee them 2025 Hondas, eyes closed. I can guarantee you 2025 those units. They say, okay, great. What do I have to do to earn those units? I say, well, you know, if my last guy was giving me 1,800 below invoice, I need you to do 2,000 below invoice. You guys deliver the cars for me. I need top-notch customer service. Obviously, we have a contract with them, so we get compensated for every single one. They're going, when they work with us, they're going deeper on a deal than they normally would. The reason they're willing to do that is because my 20 to 25 units guarantee them that bonus at the end of the month. They're going to actually lose $1,000 on every one of my deals. They're going to make 150 at the end. So they say, okay, I'm going to lose 20 to make 150. I'll take that deal all day. That's how we've gotten to the point that we can leverage it. And the dealers have called us because they want the units, right? Now, obviously, the market is a little different. But the relationships that we've forged over years already are really coming in handy here, right? Because these people that we've built relationships with are trying to stay loyal because they know that eventually things will normalize and they want to keep our account. They don't want to lose the account, you know, and us take the units elsewhere. So, I mean, yeah, I guess people call us auto brokers. Some people call us an auto concierge company. As far as how it works, I tell my customers it works however they want it to. And by that, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's, you know, some customers tell me, hey, I want to go and test drive cars, touch and see it, right? We coordinate the test drive for them, which is pretty cool. They're going to go to one of the dealers that we're partnered with. They literally get to walk in, see the car, drive it, and they can get out of there in 20 minutes. Nobody hassles them. Nobody bothers them. You know, they don't bring the manager to start scribbling a bunch of crap on a paper. They can see the car, take off. If they like it, we'll wrap everything up and we'll deliver it later. Whereas the younger customer base, they usually don't even care about it. It's funny because the demographic, it's usually the older generations and women are the ones that want to see and test drive. Then the younger guys, they don't care. They're like, I want that black F-150, send it over and that, right? So it works however they want it to. If they want to test drive, we'll coordinate that. I have a lot of customers that call me and say, I don't want to step foot into a dealer for even a second. They don't have to. We obviously locate the car. We'll take care of the pricing. Once we square away pricing with the customer, they send us a digital credit application from our website that's very user-friendly. I mean, you could do it from your phone in 5 seconds. There's no printing paperwork or anything. And we get them approved. We coordinate delivery. I mean, we deliver cars to customers' homes, to their offices. You know, we've delivered to barbershops, to gyms. We really make it very easy. But the biggest thing is that not only do we make it easy, but the customers also paying less when they come through us. And that's the biggest thing. You go to one of these little small guys that does one car, two cars a month, you're not going to pay less. And that's an important piece of the value that we bring to the table. Our customers are probably 30 to 50, right? So a broad range there. You know, strong mix between male, female. It's also how we market. We do a lot of marketing online. And the types of cars, we do brand new cars only. We've stayed away from used cars. We did it at the beginning, but we stopped because, you know, there's just way too much fraud with used cars. You know, a huge percentage of the cars have miles rolled back. And something new that a lot of people don't know about is that they've learned how to clean Carfax reports. You go get a car with a clean Carfax report, and you think it's all good. It could have been a flood car for all you know. It's not necessarily that the dealer may not know either. You know, for us, customer service is more important than making a couple bucks there. If you look us up online, you're going to see nothing but 5-star reviews. And for me, that's important because our reputation is everything in this game, especially when a lot of people haven't heard about this type of service. So they're willing to give us a shot the first time. That's all I ask for, because once they use us once, they're never going to go back to a dealer ever again. We negotiate with each new dealer that we sign up a certain flat price, right? You know, depending, obviously, every market is different. In this market, getting a car at window sticker is a great deal. But in any market that we've been in, that we've played in, we always win on pricing. We don't really lose there. I mean, a customer that's going to take my numbers, and what we do, just for you to know, when we tell customers a number, we don't do the back and forth dance. I give them a rock bottom number and we move on. And we don't pressure people. We're not going to call you back 20 times. If you don't call us back, it's because you're not interested, right? So we have a very pressure-free approach. That's also because we're very confident in our price. I mean, customers, you know, you can never say 100%, but I can tell you 99.99%, they're not going to beat our pricing. And if they do, they're going to have to put in a lot of man hours to do it. Most people don't want to deal with that, right? So, and it happens all the time because we quote people, and obviously, I know that they shop us, come back. Like, okay, let's do it. You know, because they went, they looked around, and our price is way below everybody else. A lot of this is knowing where to go. We know which dealers to play ball with. Dealers are not all created equally. You know, so a lot of, you know, people will tell me, hey, I want a black Tahoe. I say, okay, great. We don't have any at the moment. We'll get you one that's incoming. They say, oh, but look, you know, X dealer has one in the corner. I say, get a price from them and see. You let me know. There's a reason why I'll leave that out, because I know certain dealers just, they're not going to play ball, and they don't. There's dealers that are lower volume that don't get those kickbacks from the factory. So that dealer has a complete different business model, because right. They got to make the money up front versus the volume guys are making the money on the kickback. But we do everything from, as long as it's brand new, we do it. I mean, I'll do, in the same day, I'll deliver a Toyota Corolla and I'll deliver a $200,000 Mercedes. So it we literally do the entire spectrum. You know, we'll do Highline as well. Somebody needs a Ferrari and Lamborghini, something like that, we'll do it. That's not what we do most often, obviously, but we do a lot of everything, you know. Again, a really, really strong mix. You know, today, actually, we've delivered a Honda Civic and the $80,000 Yukon Denali. We do foreign and domestic. We do it all. The only brand that I can't touch is Tesla. And we choose not. I mean, Tesla, they have a one-price model set online. And as far as the Highline guys go, I think a lot of them do call for the convenience of it. But the reality is that sometimes we save those guys more than even your average guy. You know, down here, because of where we are in South Florida, and there's a lot of money here, the dealers down here, some of the Highline stuff are the worst. I mean, they really price gouge. We know, obviously, because we know the game, we know how they function. So a lot of the times with the Highline stuff, I mean, I'm talking, we've saved people $30,000 on a unit. Because now you're talking about window stickers that are $300,000. McLarens and Lamborghinis, you know, and a lot of those we can get them from up north somewhere, and you know, up there in one of those states that doesn't have the kind of market that we have down here, and you know, we can get it cheaper sometime. You know, we've delivered cars. I mean, I delivered a BMW X5 to Texas, and it made more sense. Instead of me sourcing it there, I was getting such a good price down here that even though we had to pay freight to get it there, the map still made a lot of sense. Wow. And we still saved the money. But, I mean, we've delivered to Texas. We've delivered to Rhode Island, we've delivered to Jersey. I mean, we've delivered to a few different places now. And again, every scenario is different, you know. If we have to source it elsewhere, we will. My answer, a customer calls me and they say, can we do it? My answer is just always, I say, yeah, we're going to figure it out some way or somehow. We'll figure it out. But, you know, the answer is yes, we'll go get it done. One of the biggest things that we offer is the knowledge of working with all the different banks, right? Because what happens is some customers that call me are very specific and they say, hey, you know, I want that, you know, Cadillac Escalade with this package or that package or whatever it is. But a lot of customers call me, I'd say the majority of customers that call us, they're not dead set on a car necessarily. They tell me, they're like, hey, I need a, you know, what's the best SUV I can get for $600 a month. They're not overly picky about what brand they have to go with. And, you know, one of the biggest value adds that we can, you know, throw out there is, again, knowing which banks are the banks is the best bank for this customer, because they're not all created equally. One of the things we do is, you know, again, unlike dealers just like to run people's credit and just run their credit and put a bunch of inquiries. We don't do that. For us, we protect the customer's credit until, we try not to run it until the very last moment, until we have to. You know, the initial phone call with me or with one of my guys is, you know, a lot of, you know, question and answer. One of the things we talk about is credit. So I'll ask my customer, hey, what does your credit score look like? And a lot of them will tell me, yeah, I'm good. I got a 750, no problem, right? But sometimes we don't get that. Sometimes the customer tells me, look, I got a 650 or a 640. Then I'll start to question them. Because again, we have a lot of knowledge about the credit part of it, obviously, since we do so much volume. And, you know, you could be a 650 because you repoed a car 3 years ago, or you can be a 650 because you just have a lot of credit card debt. And there's two different things, right? One is derogatory, one is not. We'll start asking the questions. We'll walk the customer through why I'm asking the questions. And depending on what they tell me, I'll say, look, based on your credit situation, I highly recommend we go to Volkswagen or we go to Nissan. We should stay away from the American banks because, again, we know how we work hand in hand with all these banks. And we know that some are very, very, very picky. So depending on the situation, I'll tell them, hey, you know, if you have bulletproof credit and you want to get something through General Motors, all good. I mean, they're a little more of a picky bank. And again, a customer with tough credit, we know, hey, we got to stay away from the American guys. And we got to go to either the Japanese or the European guys. Those banks tend to be a little more flexible, you know. And so we work around, we'll help the customer, you know, get into the best possible option versus them going to the dealers and just banging their heads. Because people that have a 620, 630, they'll start going to GMC, to Chevy, and they'll start banging their credit around and putting inquiries. It lowers their credit even more. You don't have a very good chance of getting approved with that score. We will do that as opposed to, you know, just putting inquiries out there. Customers using us for the first time always have this a little bit of skepticism, but then that's it. They're customers for life at that point. You know, they never want to go any other route. We do financing or leasing. They could buy cash. The structure of the purchase doesn't really make a difference for us. Some people are open, hey, lease or finance, and then I'll kind of guide them through it. I'll say, well, talk to me. How many miles do you drive every year? You know, what kind of usage are you putting the car through? And I'll give them best advice on that. You know, some people tell me, hey, I drive 20,000 miles a year. Well, tell them you should finance. You know, we also kill a lot of the myths that are out there that people, it's crazy, the myths that people have come to absorb here from the car industry, like, oh, hey, if I go over my miles, if I lease a Toyota and I go over my miles, it's okay if I get another Toyota, right? Toyota will forgive that. Like, they just tell them in a very vague way, yeah, don't worry. Don't worry if you go, just call me and I'll take care of it. And it's a very dishonest thing to do. A lot of moving parts with when it comes to lease returns, if the car has damage, again, the mileage part of it, you know, at least you could just return it or you can sell the car. A lot of moving parts to a car transaction, to buying or selling a car or leasing, that people have no idea, and you know, they've been clouded by all this misinformation of how it really works. So we give people the best possible advice, and again, we tell them the truth. It's been a wild ride. I mean, the last year and a half or so. I remember when this whole thing first started, COVID. You know, there was real uncertainty out there. It was really like, you know, if you, God forbid you watch the news, and it makes it sound like it's the Black Plague, you know, if you walk outside, you're going to drop dead or something. So everyone was legitimately concerned and we didn't know what was coming. And I think that's what started the domino effect of what we're seeing today. Because car manufacturers, you know, buy components to forecast. And I think that when they scared the hell out of everybody at the beginning, you have a lot of manufacturers that didn't want to bet big, and they panicked, and they said, obviously things are so bad that we have this crazy virus out there. Nobody's going to be buying cars. Let's buy less semiconductor microchips. Let's buy less plastic, less aluminum, less. And that didn't happen. The demand didn't go down at all. You know, and I was one of them that I was like, well, let's see what happens. I didn't know what was going to happen. Interestingly enough, I mean, there's a lot of factors to it. But for us now going into, well, March will be a five-year-old company. I mean, we're coming off far and away the best year that we've ever had. And you know what's crazy with the shortage is that the shortage has been going on for a while, just at different levels. What we thought was a shortage in the middle of 2020, you know, was nothing compared to the shortage at the end of 2020. And it's nothing compared to what we're seeing now. Like, we keep thinking that it's a shortage, but it keeps getting worse. And it's pretty concerning stuff. I mean, look, as of this morning, just to put some context behind it, I mean, I had one of my stores that I work with a lot, AutoNation Weston Toyota. They're a big partner of ours. As of this morning, they had 3 new cars on the lot total. 3. You're talking about a dealer that stocks over 500-600 cars a month at any given moment. They have cars mixed between everything. One of my Ford stores, they have 2 new cars. They have one Explorer, one F-150. This is far and away the worst that it's gotten right now, right? I don't know if it's going to get worse. I don't know how much worse it can get. Everything's out pretty much, right? So I just don't think it can. I think we're pretty much at the rock bottom here. But yeah, everyone's pretty much out. And like the 2 cars that we delivered today were cars that were reserved a month ago. You know, I've had 2 customers reach out to me today, both for work vans. We have to order them 3 to 4 months away. So every day we're just placing orders and placing orders and placing orders. And that's kind of the way that it has to be right now. If you're the customer that calls me and says, hey, my lease ends in 6 months, I'm really not going to care what you get me into at that point. I just want something cheap, reliable, whatever. I'm pretty open. I don't care about colors, equipment. Then we can wait. But if you're a customer that says, hey, you know, I want a BMW X5 for my next car with XYZ features, with the M Sport package and the 22-inch wheels and all this stuff, it's good to have these conversations now, because then I can, you know, tell you, hey, you know, let's touch base again. I'll kind of walk them through it, and I'll say, let's touch base again, maybe, you know, 3 months before. Let's kind of review the market again and see what it looks like. That's going to be a custom order car all day long. And typically, as of today, those cars are taking about 6 to 8 weeks. They don't take as long because they're made in the United States, specifically the BMW SUVs. So at that point, I'd say we have a little bit of time before we have to order. This is a fluid situation. It's changing day by day. We keep making predictions about what's going to happen when this is going to turn. And we've missed every one of those targets because the factory is not being upfront. Or I don't know if they're purposely not being upfront, or if they're just not, you know, if they don't know. You know, all we can do is go off of ETAs that the factory gives us. And I'll tell you, the concerning part is it hasn't only been pushing shipments back. It's been canceling shipments.